All right, guys, welcome to the Real Estate Funds podcast. Today we have Ryan Duff, who has closed about $5 billion in originations in the past 5 years, or sorry, in the past 10 years, just for multifamily. And he has investment experience in the LP and GP since 2016. He's cycled through 8 deals and is involved in 13 different assets at 2,000 units. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thanks, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, so let's hear a little bit about your background and how you use your experience in the debt side of things and see opportunities in multifamily.
Sure. So I currently work for a company called Arbor Realty Trust. We are a direct seller servicer of predominantly agency debt, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA. We do a lot of structured products as well. Do a lot of bridge lending, or did, from probably 2017 to 22. And on top of that, very well versed and familiar with the structured space, preferred equity, mezzanine loans, basically anything that we can do to kind of climb the capital stack and help folks get out of over-leveraged opportunities, situations of distress. As I mentioned, I've been here about 15 years. I've worked with a lot of folks, a lot of guys that, I think are great operators, guys who are kind of middle of the road. And from that experience and that touch, so to speak, I've been actively investing over the past 8 years as well. I've hand selected, in my opinion, some of the best owner operators in the space. I target deals predominantly in the Southeast from an investment standpoint. Markets that have good demographics, good migration patterns, tax-friendly states, things of that nature. And most recently, I've taken that expertise and that Rolodex, and I'm trying to expand into the equity side. Really trying to leverage the deal flow that I see from an off-market basis in those areas with these sponsors. Leverage broker networks, really trying to capitalize on the distress in our environment right now. That's basically driven by, Fed mandated interest rate hikes, that quite frankly caught a lot of folks off guard. We've been seeing it at Arbor for quite some time. We're doing a very good job to, help guys through the process, try to find solutions, and make deals work and buy folks time to try to, reposition the asset, execute their business plan on site. And get them, in a position where they can capitalize on something a bit more permanent, or wait for rates to settle, for kind of, things to improve in their environments whereby they can exit and or sell in a kind of a better cap rate environment.
Gotcha. Yeah, you mentioned that you like from your experience, you find the best operators. So what do you look for exactly, and how do you find those operators to work with?
I think it's trust, first and foremost. I mean, a lot of guys that I do invest with are guys that I've been lending to for the better part of the last decade. These guys, East Coast, West Coast, where they reside, but by and large, their portfolios that they execute are in certain markets with the characteristics that I mentioned, that are ripe, for opportunity. Most of these guys are mid-market, inside the institution. They're not mom and pops, own and operate several thousand units a piece, but the execution, the business plan, the value add component, and given their expertise and their ability to have cycled through situations and deals in various markets, the reputations go along with that, and they follow them, right? So, from a broker that has a off-market listing, the ability to execute, having that reputation in these areas, these guys are going to be the first ones that get the call. It's at that point where, I try to tag along. I'm not an operator, obviously. I'm more of a capital markets professional and expert from a debt and equity standpoint, which is a bit unique, but from a value creation standpoint, that's what I bring these guys to, right? I mean, my ability to place debt, look at a situation, see what type of product that it warrants, to try to execute the business plan effectively. And from an equity standpoint, I've been involved in obviously the LP, the GP as well. I've raised capital for these guys, And I draft off of, you know, their return profiles. I obviously have, you know, certain characteristics that I like to achieve on my own and for the equity that I bring to the table as well. So it's kind of a value creation from both sides of the capital stack, right? You know, being able to source effectively on the debt side and also being able to provide some bulk equity to these co-sponsors in exchange, you know, for that value, I free them up, you know, time-wise. They can go out and kind of continue to canvas the markets, look for deal flow. And that's kind of been the strategy over the last several years. And, you know, it's a unique time, obviously, in our marketplace. I mean, there's a lot of distress, both on the syndication side, on the lender side, on the operation side. You know, folks are running out of time. They're running out of capital. You know, they're having to go back into their limited partnerships, looking to do capital calls and things of that nature. And those calls are not being answered. So, you know, right now is an interesting kind of pivotal point in our industry where, you know, things are colliding and converging in different directions, all predicated on where rates are and where they're going. You know, and in my opinion, I think there's a reset occurring. I think from a cap rate perspective, we're starting to see some softening. You know, I don't believe rates are going to subside at any point. I don't think the data tape is there from a Fed perspective to start cutting in 2024 and maybe even the first quarter or two of 2025. So it's a unique time in our industry to be well positioned, to be capitalized, and to get in front of the deal flow that might be, you know, 20-30+% off previous basis.
Yeah, and you're using your network to get that deal flow. I mean, you've been working for the past about 15 years in this, so definitely some opportunities there. What do you look for as a lender? Because you're in the debt and equity side. What do you look for as a lender, and then why do you pair debt and equity together, and why don't you focus on just one of those?
Yeah, as a lender, you know, things have shifted a lot, obviously, over the past, you know, 18 months, I'd say. You know, asset quality has become a big concern. You know, everybody was doing bridge loans, obviously, at high leverage rates. You know, when LIBOR, which is now SOFR, was close to zero, it's now at 500 plus. You know, I think from a criteria on the lending side, sponsorship has now become more paramount. And what I mean by that, you know, the execution, the track record, but also equity in the deal. Right. I mean, you know, when the whole world of syndication surfaced 5 years ago, these guys would raise equity, you know, within their networks, put that equity to work and take a fee, whether they'd roll it into the deal in some cases, whether they take it to keep the lights on and, you know, cover overhead in the meantime. I think, you know, 3 points that lenders are really harping on right now are equity in the deal. You know, in some cases, depending on the product, I'm seeing minimums anywhere from 5 to 10%. You know, previously guys would try to get away with 1%, and asset quality, right? I mean, you know, a lot of these markets that are experiencing significant distress are areas where guys entered at 80-85% leverage or loan to cost, you know, going in with floating rate debt with no rate caps, and reserves are now being depleted. Those rate caps are now maturing. They've never been more expensive to put a new rate cap in place than they have been now. So there's blood, I guess, in the waters, right? You know, our areas such as Houston or Charlotte or parts of Orlando and Miami, you know, a lot of guys enter those areas because they were very attractive to do so 2 and 3 and 4 years ago. And now they're caught, and they're stuck, right? And fortunately for us, you know, it's a good position to be in. You know, we have a lot of abilities to execute, you know, ways to help clients through the process. But at the end of the day, you know, it comes down to tough decisions that sponsors are having to make right now because, you know, they're running out of time. They more often than not haven't executed their business strategy on site to its fullest. And their equity is getting strained. You know, raising capital right now is not easy. You know, there's a lot of debt funds out there, distressed funds, guys who are trying to come in and place, you know, slot equity in to kind of, you know, cover a shortfall and buy some time. That's expensive capital, you know, sometimes in hard money, you know, range. And I think the second part of your question, you know, being able to marry the debt and equity space is extremely accretive towards sponsorships, right? Most guys that are, you know, syndicating capital, they're also hiring a broker to go out and source their debt, right? They don't have the access to the agency folks. They don't have the access to a CMBS lender or regional banks. And so my thesis with, you know, where I'm going is to provide not only that value, but also provide what everybody needs right now, which is just equity, patient equity, equity, you know, coming in from outside industries that might not have exposure in the multifamily space right now. And it's a huge value add for a lot of these sponsors to have somebody, A, provide bulk equity checks, B, provide equity into their general partnership on a needed basis, and C, handle the capital market side, you know, from a debt perspective. You know, I think, yes, there's a lot of opportunity now. I think there's going to be a lot more in the next 6, 12, 18 months. But the financing vehicle that are put in place on these deals are going to help execute tremendously. You know, you don't want to get caught. You don't want to be in a long-term fixed rate product if rates settle down and you have a huge prepayment penalty that you can't get out of. You also don't necessarily want to be putting a bridge loan in place right now at 9 or 10% either, right? So it's all about, you know, making sure that you're stressing your numbers, you know, coming into the situation, you know, knowing where you need to be, what your game plan is, when your disposition is going to be. So I think, you know, the value creation by having kind of a platform in place to come in and, you know, place and source the debt, the experience, you know, selfishly that I do have in that space. But also, you know, providing the equity, is really kind of becoming a one-stop shop in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell us more about your experience raising equity for these sponsors.
Yeah. So I, you know, I've, again, I kind of go back. I have a select group of folks that, you know, I've been working with for a long time. You know, I know their deal profile. I know their strategies. I know what type of deals they go after. And obviously not every equity follows every deal, right? Not all equity follows every deal, right? So, you know, you're going to have institutional equity that can get away with a 3-4% yield on their capital. That's not the space that I play in. You know, those guys are going to be able to buy 4 or 5 cap assets at any time, in any market, any cycle. So, you know, I think right now we're seeing opportunities on the buy side that are off market, that, you know, some of which have cash on cash day one, right? It might be low, but there's a value add component in a lot of these deals as well. Where you can come in, you can do some renovations, do some repositioning, put a good debt vehicle in place, maybe a 5-year fixed type, you know, program with some interest only to buy you some time in the first couple of years to execute. And I think, you know, from a cap rate, a value per unit perspective, you know, a lot of these trades are getting done right now quietly, you know, direct to seller or direct to lender with all of those components, right? A small cash on cash day one, a value add in the first 1 to 3 years. And again, from a financing perspective, the right vehicle in place will help you implement and give you the time to execute on your business plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my show is really for limited partner investors. So what should they be looking for right now? Because most of my, you know, investors are in multifamily, my audience. What should they be looking for in this market?
Yeah, I think, you know, I touched on a few of those points. I think the right sponsors. I mean, you know, the thing with today's market, it's like, you know, you have hundreds of syndicates that have entered the space over the last 5 years. Quite frankly, they're a lot of the ones that are getting caught off guard right now. Nobody foresaw the rate hikes that we went through, have gone through. But I think the prolonged nature of the elevation on those rates are what the problem is, right? So, you know, where do LPs look? Track record, you know, markets, you know, is your equity patient, right? Do you have some time? Is this, you know, kind of a in and out pop in 1 to 3 years, or can you wait 5 to 7 potentially without any liquidity event or cash flow? A lot of these deals are distressed. A lot of them, you know, have low-hanging fruits day one where you can come in and there's maybe some vacancy so you can get into units right away and start repositioning and turn those and lease them up. But you know, you need some patience. You got to get in bed with the right owner operators, guys who, you know, operate, have executed, have cycled through deal flow in the respective markets that they're targeting right now. You know, and you got to have kind of some flexibility. I would say that I'm seeing good, solid return profiles. You know, don't go on LinkedIn, don't go on platforms and just get blindsided or blinded by, you know, the enormous returns that a lot of these guys are offering right now, because a lot of that is with a lot of caveats and a lot of assumptions. You know, if anybody says they can, you know, return a 3x multiple on your capital and, you know, a mid-20s IRR in 3 years, I would question that execution, right? You know, you got to kind of layer in there and kind of, you know, dig in, do your homework, find out who these guys are, what their track record is. Are they just, you know, kind of equity capital providers, or are they in the weeds on a day-to-day from an operational perspective? You know, I think, you know, folks that I've invested with time and time again, you know, are massively meticulous on site, right? And a lot of problems that we're seeing right now are guys that are non-local, guys who, you know, might be on the West Coast and they invested in South Carolina or Florida or Georgia, right? They have third-party management on site. They're, you know, relying on these folks to implement the turns, the CapEx programs, you know, manage all the budgets. And then at the end of the month, you know, you'll get a kind of a P&L and an update on what's been going on. That may or may not be real. There may or may not be trust on both sides of those, you know, equations. So I think, you know who you're investing with, you know, do your homework, know what you want for your equity. Is it cash flow? Can you put it away for 5 years and wait for that liquidity event on that equity multiple on the exit? And really understand the deal, understand the market, you know what's going on. Are there supply demand issues? Is there an imbalance? You know, how is the asset positioned within its comp set in that market, right? You know, you have a lot of deals. Take Houston, for example, right? I mean, you know, Houston was in a very attractive market. A lot of the stress that I'm seeing is coming out of that area, but it's pocketed, right? So there's different neighborhoods that are isolated that might have a better demographic or a better tenant base with some better demand that would help support the thesis for that deal. But don't just look at a market in its entirety and say, oh, I want to be there, right? You got to kind of bifurcate the good and the bad. And that also comes, you know, with the sponsor that you're investing in. You know, understand the general partnership and who's involved.
Yeah. What are some good tools that you would use to research a market? Because most people in the LP space, they might live in the Midwest and then invest down south. So how would you research markets outside of your local market?
Yeah, there's some good platforms. I mean, Trepp, CoStar, I get a lot of my intel from appraisers, right? I mean, you know, there are nationwide appraisers that operate in every state and every market. They'll probably have regional guys, you know, in the regions that you're targeting. I have access because I'm on the debt lending side as well, right? So we get an appraisal done on every single loan that we do. So I have, you know, I'm pretty dialed in as far as, you know, okay, hey, I'm looking at this deal. I'll reach out to somebody, right? I'm looking at this deal, you know, give me recent trades, give me a list of comps on the sales side, right? That have traded in the last 12 months, you know, take a look at those assets, you know, find out who the players are, who the operators are. You know, this is a deep dive, right? I can't expect every limited partner, every LP to go at it from this perspective, but it really gives you a good lens and angle into what's going on in that space. You know, how these guys are treating, you know, have there been trades? A lot of markets haven't had trades in the past 12 months because everybody's been sitting on the sideline or kicking the can down the road trying to buy themselves time to exit. Figure out where rents are, right? I mean, you know, certain markets across the country, we're seeing a lot of rent plateauing where, you know, guys, again, trying to execute their business model. And I'm seeing a lot of appraisers have kind of a mark to market situation right now, but that's not up. That's mark to marketing down. Right. Where their average rents coming in on their rehabs were supposed to be at X and they're now lower. The market's lower. The demand is lower. Right. Whether that's a supply issue, whether that's, again, back to the positioning of that asset within the market. So it's twofold. Right. It's rents. It's trades, which we don't have a lot of right now. I mean, I think we're at, you know, 7-year lows or 10-year lows as far as, you know, trades happening in certain markets across the country. So I think from an LP, you got to do your diligence. You got to know your guys. You got to know your market and really try to understand the asset, what the game plan is, what the value add component looks like, and, you know, where the asset operates today versus where it could be. And then you can kind of back into your return profiles based on you know, understanding those components.
A lot of good takeaways there. So, yeah, what are your plans moving forward?
Good question. You know, I continuing to do deals at Arbor, obviously, you know, working on exits on our balance sheet programs. I have a lot of guys that I mentioned that are transacting right now off market. So, you know, we're doing a lot of agency 5, 7, 10 year plays, a little bit shorter term now, obviously, kind of given where rates, people want a bit more visibility and flexibility into what their strategies are. And I think moving forward, you know, I'm going to continue to obviously get in front of deal flow, try to educate my network on what it is that I'm doing from the equity side as well. You know, and really trying to introduce the platform to as many limited partners, sponsors that I can. You know, as I mentioned earlier in this call, you know, the value creation from a debt and equity standpoint that, you know, my platform creates is pretty significant. And, you know, a lot of GPs will pay for that in the form of promotes and upsides and things of that nature. So, you know, I think it's about educating the masses on what's out there. You know, the new age syndication is kind of gone, right? I mean, you know, they blew the doors off that, I think, from a reputation standpoint over the last couple of years, because again, a lot of the stress we're seeing right now are exactly those guys that entered the space overnight, you know, had some access to capital and tried to put it to work, and they're getting squeezed. So, you know, I think continuing to canvas the market, you know, I'm actively looking in all of our, you know, areas of interest, you know, North, South Carolina, parts of Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, and it's secondary, tertiary markets. I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily downtown Charlotte or Miami or Atlanta. I mean, these are secondary areas, you know, Melbourne, Lakeland, Tampa, Savannah, Georgia, Hilton Head, you know, parts of kind of Wilmington, North Carolina, you know, Greensboro, things of that nature, right? That might have been overlooked in the past several years, but there's good opportunity in those areas right now that are a bit underserved. And look at the migration patterns, right? Good demographics in these areas too. People are, you know, employers are moving there. They're opening up big job hubs. People, you know, are moving from the Northeast. They're moving from the West Coast. You know, there's good weather, you know, tax-friendly situations as well. So there's a lot of attractive attributes to these areas. And there's a massive need for housing. I mean, that's, you know, nationwide shortage from a supply standpoint, but not everybody wants to live everywhere, right? So they're kind of going where there's a good lifestyle, where there's good weather, good opportunity, good ability to kind of, you know, raise families. And, you know, I think, you know, the marketplace for housing and shelter has never been greater, right? So I think there's a long way to go. Fundamentals in our space are super strong. That was never the question, right? It's just, you know, the opportunity is coming from distress driven by capital markets and interest rates. You know, housing is rock solid. And I think from an asset class standpoint, there's never been a better place to be. You know, the benefits that it offers, obviously, outside of cash flow and, you know, I think growth and wealth creation, the stability is what's, I think, paramount in out of all of those things. You know, short-term nature of the leases on the rent rolls, right? You're not locked into a triple net situation, you know, with modest increases, you know, year over year. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, urban lifestyles with office spaces and, you know, them kind of re-engineering into residential, right? So it's there's a good stock of opportunity in these markets that I think they're those that are well positioned and capitalized and have the access to the off-market deal flow are going to be the winners in the next several years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how do you think operators have access to the deal flow, and then how do you think they can build up their deal flow?
I think it's through partnerships, quite frankly. You know, I mean, a lot of guys are partnering up, you know, or kind of, you know, riding the coattails, I guess, of guys that are, I mentioned earlier, again, guys that have executed in these markets and cycled through deal flow in the past. From a reputation standpoint, these guys are getting the calls on the deals, right? You know, I like to sit inside the institution. I mean, you see all these announcements with BlackRock and, you know, these massive private equity platforms that are allocating billions and billions into our space. Is that the right way to go? You know, probably not, right? I mean, you know, they're going to take down, you know, the Class A new construction deals and urban core environments. They're not, you know, migrating into kind of secondary, tertiary, underserved situations. So, you know, I think partnerships, like I've done, you know, find, in your opinion, who the best are. Understand their track record, right? Know what they've cycled through, the deal profiles they've been in, you know, what their game plan was. Did they execute? Did they hit their promotes, their profiles on their exit? And then did they, you know, keep their equity whole and return and compound it? I think that's important, you know, for LPs and GPs alike. You see a lot of partnerships, you see a lot of JVs at this point. And quite frankly, I mean, it's not a detriment to you or your business, but, you know, you're, by doing those things, you're opening yourself up to situations that wouldn't hit your inbox on a regular basis, right? Whether you're out of market, whether it's a different asset class or a deal profile that you generally went after, there's no shame in partnering, and there's no shame in JVing, you know, with guys that have that access that you can piggyback off of to try to leverage the value that you bring to them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think is the number one thing investors should look for in a deal?
I think it's the operator, quite frankly. You know, I mean, if you're a good operator, whether times are good, bad, or indifferent, you know, you're going to find a solution. You're going to find a strategy that works. You know, whether that's, you know, a land deal that took too long to get entitled, and you just chewed up your IRRs for everybody, and you exited, but you exited at a return, whether it be modest or not, it's still keeping the equity whole. You know, or you're getting squeezed on a current floating rate bridge loan, right? I mean, these guys have the ability to, you know, find equity, to that point. You know, you mentioned this earlier in the call, or I did, as far as what lenders are looking for right now, skin in the game, right? I mean, that's important too. You know, you want to know that guys are invested alongside of you as a co-investor. You know, I think, again, the days of, you know, having no skin in the game or even 1% equity from the GP standpoint are behind us. You're not going to be able to get, you know, prudent financing. But it's also a stigma from an LP perspective where, you know, if there's just a fee guy at the top of the deal, you know, calling the shots, what incentive do they have to continue to operate and maximize and optimize your equity? They don't, right? So they do. I take that back, right? A lot of folks will, but it's very easy to throw the keys back, so to speak, when you have nothing in it, right? And so, you know, I think the operator having skin in the game, having executed and cycled through deals in their target markets, are what LPs should be looking for at this point.
Yeah, you just want to see the alignment of interest there.
Totally.
So yeah, thank you for sharing your lessons, Ryan. How can people reach out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn. You know, I don't have a lot of content creation on there. You know, we'll be looking to ramp that up, you know, here in the next couple quarters. But you can reach me, my email, rduff@arbor.com. rd@c-portequity.com as well. I'm open for calls at any given time, texts. I can post my number up somewhere if that's appropriate for you. But yeah, I mean, again, looking to expand the network, educate folks on what I'm trying to do, you know, open up the deal flow that I have access to that I've built over years and years. And try to optimize, you know, everybody's experience in the space going forward.
Awesome. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, but take care. Thank you.